WGCH News Center Time 752, second Thursday of each month, means State Representative Stephen Meskers of Greenwich. Good morning, Representative. Welcome. How are you doing today?
Good morning. Doing really well, Tony. Thanks for asking.
All right. You're already getting ready for the new session coming up in January?
Well, you know, there's the new session. I am literally handling more constituent issues going into the new session. There's a lot of issues related to both the flooding, concerns people have about Metro North, about tree trimming, et cetera, and, of course, a lot of issues going on with 95. So the new session, the issues there, they're beginning to percolate, but we'll see what January brings. I'm also expecting the potential for a special session in September at the end of the month, and I'm sure one of the topics will be the increase in car thefts in the state and the concerns about that.
Yes, and that's something that, I mean, we've dealt with it here for years, and I guess it's, I don't know if it's spreading to other parts of the state, but I guess it's really got the lawmakers' ears and eyes, right?
Yeah, it looks like it's been a problem that's increased. We had a sharp decline in the years, I think, 2018 and 2019. And then with COVID coming in, we ended up seeing a very sharp spike in it, and it looks like a lot of disaffected youth engaging in this kind of criminal activity. So we're trying to figure out what the levels and measures are that we can try to deter this. You know, one of the simplest issues, which no one wants to hear about because you feel violated if your car is stolen, is that the number of cars that have been stolen, I think virtually the entirety, if not the preponderance at least, have been unlocked cars. So we're urging residents to lock their cars as a deterrent. But obviously, in addition to that, we want to make sure that we stop this practice. We don't want to see it increasing. It looks like we're down a little bit from the figures I've seen for this year. But last year we spiked, and I just don't want to see that happen again. So we're going to be looking potentially, whether in special session or final session, to figure out the right measures for deterrence. We've already engaged in a couple of procedures to speed background checks so that if somebody is detained by the police, that within the original holding period, that we can check their background and records to see whether there's a reoccurring event and engage right away in intervention. So, you know, I'm hoping we'll have a better process for it.
All right. Now, one of the things that looks like you'll probably be taking up later on this month, extending the governor's executive powers, he'd like to have them extended. What do you think?
You know, it's a mixed bag. You get some people talking about King Ned and some people complaining. I think the governor has done an extraordinary job. I think he's been measured in his decisions. You know, any of his decisions, they're not unilateral. If he goes into executive powers, it's still the check and balances that has to be approved by the minority and majority leaders of the House and Senate. So it's not like he's ruling by fiat. So I'm personally in favor of his mandate. I love the job he's doing. I want to see what specifically he's asking for executive powers to engage in, but I don't have a major problem. I mean, this year, I think he's been ruling by executive powers and done a splendid job. In fact, if anything, the only complaint I've heard is all of a sudden, you know, you hear from municipal levels some complaints about the governor not issuing a mask mandate across the state. And it's falling to the municipalities, and the municipalities are hoping he would issue a mandate so that they wouldn't have to issue the mask mandate because the pushback would only go to him and not to the locals. So, frankly, I'm not too concerned. I want to see what limitations there are on it. As I said, there are checks and balances, so I'm willing to hear it. But we're out of session until January, you know, except for potential special session. So if he has powers that he needs under executive order, we'll see. We'll see what where we get to on that.
Okay, you mentioned 995. What's happening there?
On 995, I've been meeting with Fred in the Department of Public Works and a coterie of interested parties: the Tree Conservancy, the Riverside Association, the Byron Neighborhood Association, and a new association formed around CosComp. And the concerns on 95. You know, we've got people may not be aware, but we have engaged with the federal government with a $200 million funding program. I think the feds are funding about $190 million of it, and $10 million is coming from the state. The project envisions a complete, I want to say, joint hip replacement strategy on 95 between the borders of Portchester and Stamford. So basically all the minor and major overpasses and underpasses, so not the Vianis Bridge, which has already been redone after the disaster, but in the late 70s. So this is all the small overpasses to check the steel infrastructure, the concrete, make sure there's no decay. So there's going to be a lot of work done over the next 5 years. That's going to require some tree cutting because they also have to access all the drainage gullies and make sure the culverts are clean, make sure the drainage is appropriate, the lighting, the signage. So we're concerned that they engage in quiet pavement technology, that they put up a landscaping plan, and that they also look at sound barriers so that they can improve the overall physical infrastructure. I mean, the bottom line we're concerned about is that they're going to come into town. They're going to do a major rework over the next 4 to 5 years, and I don't expect to see the DOT back in town in that kind of major way for another 30 or 40 years. So what we get left with on this physical project is going to be important, that we like the aesthetics, the pollution controls in the way of vegetation management, sound barriers in terms of quality of life issues. So the interested groups and I are formulating a letter to present to the Connecticut Department of Transportation and the governor to make sure that we get the right rework and that we're happy with the project when it finishes. And so Fred and I have been meeting with all the interested parties a number of times this summer.
All right. We just have a couple seconds left. Of course, you represent the shoreline part. Was hard hit by the storm. I know it was inland also. Real quick, in a couple seconds.
Yeah, we've had a couple of bad cases. Miltiades has come to me, a couple of other neighborhoods. They've had concerns with flooding. I don't think it was as hard hit, believe it or not, along the shoreline as it was in the Pembroke area, which is technically not in my district. So we've had concerns. I'm obviously looking to see whether we can get any of the FEMA money, whether any of the ARPA funds could potentially qualify. So I'm engaging and working on that. So far, it's not clear to me where we can do this. I think a lot of the weight is going to fall and burden is going to fall on the town to assist, but I'm looking to see what the needs are and see if I can bring back some aid from the state as well.
All right, fantastic. State Representative Stephen Mesker, is always good to talk to you. Thanks very much for your time this morning.
All right, take care, Tony. Thank you, Mitch.